Thank you for being here tonight. We are gathered here to kind of remember Jesus' death and him dying on the cross for our sins. That all he did, he left the glory of heaven and came down to this earth and he went to the cross and died for us. Aren't you thankful to Jesus? Amen. Think about it. Aren't you thankful to what he did for us, that he would come and he would die for us? You know, we have experienced his grace in so many ways, haven't we? His grace is just amazing how we've experienced it each and every day, what he's given to us. What has he saved us from? He saved us from our sin. All of us that sin, and he saved us from our sin that separated us from God. It only takes one. For the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. And the amazing grace of God offers salvation through Jesus. And if you're here today and you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins, the Bible said that you are saved and you are a child of God. If you have your Bibles, if you could please turn to Galatians chapter 1. Tonight I want to talk about God's amazing grace. And the Apostle Paul is writing at the beginning of this book in Galatians chapter 1, and he gives us a greeting in verses 3 through 5. And the greeting is very basic. It's kind of a long run-on sentence that Paul is writing, but it speaks and describes the amazing grace of God and also his incredible truths concerning the cross he's talking about here. So let's begin reading in Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Paul says, grace and peace to you from our Father, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Tonight I want to give you four truths from this passage of scriptures concerning the cross. Four truths, and the first one is this. The very obvious truths. The first one is the death of Jesus is both voluntary and determined. Both voluntary and determined. Let's read verse 4 again. He says, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. The thing we need to understand is Jesus gave himself. He gave his life. No one took his life. Jesus voluntarily came to give his life for you and I. It was his own volition. He chose to come for you and I to this world to die. But notice what it says in the part of verse 4, the end of verse 4. It says, according to the will of our God and Father. While Jesus went voluntarily, that was all determined for the creation of the world, the Bible tells us. So that God would send his one and only son who was born of a woman, born of the law, that he might save those under the law, redeem those under the law. That was the will of God, that he would do that for you and I, that he would come and die. And Jesus voluntarily submitted to the will of God. So what we have here, so his death was both voluntary and it was also submissive. And that was the will of God for him, determined before the foundation of the world that he would come. And when you think about that, think about the amazing plan of God and the amazing grace that God knew before he ever created you and I, before he ever created this world, God already had a plan. He knew that you and I would fall one day, and he already had a plan that Jesus was going to come and he's going to die on the cross for our sins. And Jesus says, yes, I'll do that. I'll go die. All determined before any of this existed that we see with our eyes. Notice in verse 4, he says, who gave himself for our sins. Our sins. So the death of Jesus was for our sins. So when we look at the Old Testament, there was a direct cause and effect relationship between sin and death. And the Bible says, the soul that sins shall die. But Jesus broke that cause and effect when he came and he died on the cross for our sins. And the Bible says he gave himself for our sins. Jesus did not die for his own sins because Jesus was sinless. Jesus was perfect in all his ways. He died for our sins. He died for us in our place. So you and I wouldn't have to suffer that punishment that we so deserve. And that's what 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24 says. It says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. So because of our sins, the Bible says we were to die. We were to die physically and we were to die spiritually. Spiritual death means a separation of our souls from God for all of eternity. But instead of us dying, What happened was Jesus stepped in and he paid for our sins by dying up on the cross. It was a substitution. Jesus substituted his life for yours and mine, and he went to the cross for us. We couldn't solve our problem, our sin problem before God, so God solved it for us by sending his one and only son for us to die for us. And that's what it says in Romans 8:32. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us. God's demand and justice is satisfied through Jesus' ultimate death upon the cross, that he sacrificed himself, that God was satisfied with the payment of Jesus and what he did for you and I. It was also because Jesus died and God was satisfied with the payment, it satisfied God's justice. It satisfied God's wrath that he was going to pour out on us for our sins, and it was satisfied through Jesus. We also notice in a third truth from this verse, number three, is the purpose of Jesus' death was to rescue us. It says in verse 4, to rescue us from the present evil age. When Paul wrote this, he says the present age was evil. And our present age could be characterized as being evil because of the enemy, Satan. But Paul's world was known for evils such as murder and adultery and military oppression and lying and stealing and so forth and so on. What is our age known for? Well, every time you listen to the news or turn on the news, you watch it or you read about it, it seems like violence is always increasing. It seems like whatever you hear today, you think, man, that was terrible. A couple of days later, something happens even worse, doesn't it? It seems like it happens all the time. It seems like today life is not, the value of life is non-existent in our world today. Seems like people just don't value life anymore. It seems like people take trucks and cars and guns and explosives and knives and just take life for causes and reasons that I don't understand why they would do that. Just take life. They don't value it. They don't care about life anymore. It seems like we have a rampant epidemic in our society for opiate drugs. And literally across our nation, we have hundreds, if not thousands of people are dying because of it. We have people abusing children and women and even men. We had millions of unborn children are destroyed with little or no remorse from people in our society and our culture and our world. They don't really care. It seems like according to our world and our thought today, if it's against God and his ways, let's do it. And it seems like it's a rampant thing just to sin against God. So we definitely live in our world today as an evil today, an evil age is which we live. And Jesus came to this earth on a rescue mission. For the Bible says in Luke 19:10, it's kind of Jesus' purpose statement, his mission statement, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. So Jesus came to save us. He came to rescue us. Another word for rescue would be deliver. He came to deliver you and I. He came to set us free is what Jesus came. To set us free from all these things. Every rescue mission begins with awareness of a problem. And we had a problem. And Jesus came and he gave himself for our problem. For our problem is we need to be delivered from our helpless condition. Or a helpless condition is where we cannot resist sin. Every one of us left by ourselves without Jesus cannot resist sin. We are addicted to it. Without Jesus, we can never overcome our sin problem. We can never fix our problem. We're addicted to sin is what the Bible says. And Jesus came to deliver us from that. And this deliverance he's given us does not remove believers from the world at this time. But it gives you and I a hope for the future that one day that we will be with Jesus forever, what it tells us. And he also offers his presence and his guidance in this world today as we try to live and serve him in this present evil age. For the Bible says it's evil. We see that ourselves. When Jesus came, he kind of set up his kingdom. Part of it now in terms of his spiritual kingdom, and part of it yet to come in terms of his physical, the kind of earthly physical kingdom. So what we are experiencing today in this world today is between his kingdom and this present evil age. So we're part of his kingdom, but yet his present evil age is here. And the Bible says, so we have been delivered. We are already part of his kingdom, but it's not all right here yet. Jesus has rescued us, the Bible says, and the best is yet to come. Because of the cross and God's amazing grace. God said, what we see now, we're part of his kingdom spiritually, but that earthly, that physical kingdom is not yet come. So the best is yet to come for you and I. And then it comes on in John 17, it says this, though we are still in the world, we are no longer of the world. For an outward appearance, it seems like everything's the same in the world, but our allegiance and our nationality has changed. That now on, since when we came and accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, my allegiance is no longer to the world, but it's to Jesus. And now I'm in this world, and I'm kind of just passing through this world. While I'm here in this world, I'll serve him faithfully. I'll be the good citizen he wants me to be, but my allegiance is to Jesus. My nationality belongs to him and his kingdom, the new kingdom that he's creating. Part of his kingdom now, and I'm just passing through. And we're looking forward to that day when we will be with him forever and ever. The fourth truth is found in verse 3 and 5, where it says, grace and peace to you from our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And the fourth point is, grace comes from God, and all glory rises to him. When the Apostle Paul mentions grace here, he mentions it to remind you and I of God's kindness to offer his salvation to people that don't deserve it. We don't deserve his salvation. We don't deserve what he has to offer us. Not only does God not withhold the judgment and punishment that we so clearly deserve, but he grants us this unbelievable gift through Jesus. And the gift that we have is forgiveness of sins and salvation and eternal life. Something that you and I do not deserve. For you and I deserve his judgment. We deserve the separation from God. We deserve his wrath. We deserve punishment for what we have done. But God instead, through Jesus, through the cross of Jesus, he says, I offer this free gift for everyone. Salvation, forgiveness of sins, and eternal life is what God gives us. And God bestows his grace upon us. He rains his grace down upon us so much. And all for the purpose, the reason we receive so much grace, for the glory to rise to him. So he receives all the glory. He does everything for all of us that have received his grace. That grace has come upon you so he might receive the glory, not only with our words, but in our lives. He says your life, the reason he's left you and I here, is your life and everything that you do, it is to bring glory to him. And that's why it's so important that you and I are walking right with him. Because the reason we're here still on this earth to demonstrate God's goodness and to bring him glory with our lives. That people see us and they see Jesus. And he says, your life is to bring glory, for all glory belongs to God. Paul kind of gives a summary of this in verse 3. He says, grace and peace to you from God our Father. He says, we have this grace and we have this peace. Grace is free, unmerited favor from God. And peace is the reconciliation of us with him through Jesus Christ, God's grace through Jesus. That's the peace that we have. He gives us this wonderful, amazing peace and grace that he gives us. What I want to give you is, I want to give you some benefits of that. Some benefits that we have of our salvation that God has given us. And one of the great benefits that we have is, we have a new identity now in Christ. We have a new identity. No longer are we just related to God as just creator and creation, but now we're related to God as sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. We have a relationship. We're part of the family. It's so different for us now. And this is an intimate relationship to be part of the family that we have now free access to God because of what Jesus has done for you and I. And so when we come to God with our needs, we're not approaching a stranger, but now we're approaching a Heavenly Father who loves us, who cares for us, wants to help us. And he's there, we have this compassionate Heavenly Father that longs for us to come to him. Say, come to me when you have troubles. Come to me when you have needs and help. And we don't come to him and have to be shy about it. The Bible says we can be bold in approaching God because he wants us to come. We're his children and he loves us so much and he wants us to come. So we have this new identity. The second benefit we have is we have an opportunity now with Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. We have an opportunity that we didn't have before is to live for Jesus. We didn't have that before. We couldn't please him in any way in our own. But now because of Jesus, we have an opportunity to choose each and every day either to follow myself or to follow Jesus. And what do you think God wants you to do? He wants you to follow Jesus. We have an opportunity to walk with him each and every day and deliver him. The third benefit we have is we can act generously. We now have a purpose. We have a goal in our life that no matter where God has placed me, I can be a testimony of his grace and his mercy to all around. And God wants me to be that. And generosity has a lot of different ways to be shown into this world. And I'm just going to list a few and you can think of the rest of them. But one of the ways that God wants us to demonstrate is generosity, that you and I might live a life on a mission, is that we might share his forgiveness with others. that we might be forgiving people, that we might be reminded of what God has given to us, how he forgave us. And but the reason we can forgive others is because Jesus forgave us of our sins. And now we can forgive someone when they do something to us. He gives us the ability and enables us now to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. And every time we forgive someone, it's an expression of God's grace, his wonderful, amazing grace. So when we forgive someone, we're demonstrating the grace of God to them. And people see that in us and they're drawn to that. So we have a way to be generous with God's forgiveness, to offer forgiveness to anyone who hurts us, anyone who does anything wrong to us. Forgive us as Christ has forgiven us. We can be generous with love. We can now love unconditionally. Grail read this verse, Romans 5:8. The Bible says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the word demonstrated in there has the idea of billboarding. God's love is to be hid in some kind of a corner, but God meant his love to be broadcast loud and clear to all so they might know that God loves you. That's what the cross is about. It's to billboard God's love. It's to be broadcast to all. God says, I love you so much. And we looked at the cross, reminded of that. And if you're ever in thought of, does God really love me? Does God really care? Is God really devoted to me? Is he really committed to me? We're to look to the cross and reminds us that God loves us so much. He loves us. He's committed to us. He's devoted to us. And he'll be faithful to us because of the cross. And he reminds us of those things. And Paul goes on in Romans 5:8. He says, why we were still sinners? That God died for you and I when we were enemies of God. And the reason he died, not because we're good people, because he loves us. He loves us is what the Bible is telling us. We too should love others because we've been overwhelmed with the love of God. And we sang that song, the first song tonight, overwhelmed by his love. When we look to the cross, we remember the cross of Jesus, that he died for us. Every time we look at that, we should be overwhelmed by his love, that he would come and die for us. Listen, I sinned against him. I did wrong. I broke his word. I broke what he wanted me to do. It was me that did it. And he sends his one and only son who's innocent. He didn't do anything wrong. And God takes my sin, my punishment that I deserve, and now he puts it upon Jesus. And he dies for us. And when we look at the cross, we should be overwhelmed. God, why would you do that? How can you love me so much? I don't even love myself that much as you love me, that you would do that for me, that you would die for me. We should be so overwhelmed with this love. And because we're so overwhelmed with this love, God gives you and I the ability, who knows him, who has trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have the ability now to love others the way Christ loved us. We can actually love people that way, that unconditional love that he wants us to have for them, to love them, to not only just love them and say it, but have that sacrificial love that put others' needs before ourselves. He says, now I want to give you the opportunity to love and to love them unconditionally. No matter what they've done to you, still love them because Jesus has loved us and we've been overwhelmed with his love that he's given you and I. He says, I want you to love them. And we have the ability now to do that. See, you and I have every reason to be thankful to God. We have been blessed. And Jesus came and he died on the cross for our sins and he paid the payment. So now that you and I have this new life in Christ, this new life in him, and all our hopes are filled in Christ. Everything is fulfilled in Christ. There's nothing we have to do. We have this relationship with Jesus and everything is fulfilled. Jesus is going to accomplish, he accomplished it all. And everything in heaven one day will be with him. But he gives us something else. He promises to take care of us. It's really important, another benefit. And in Matthew chapter 11, he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. And he says, I will give you rest. And he says, come and surrender everything to me. And he makes a promise to you and I. And it's a tremendous promise. He says, I promise to give you rest. Give it to me, whatever it may be in your life. And rest from your burdens. Rest from your heavy loads that you might have. That's what he's saying to us. Rest from those burdens and rest for those heavy loads. And maybe you're here today and you're carrying a heavy load. Maybe you're here today and you're carrying a heavy, heavy burden. Maybe it's a medical condition. Maybe it's a health issue right now and you're carrying it. You've been carrying it for a long time. It's, I just can't carry it. I'm so tired. I'm so worn out. And Jesus says, cast it upon me and I'll carry it. and I'll give you rest. That's what he promises. Cast that upon me, give it to me, and I promise out of your weariness and that burden, I'll take it and I'll give you rest. Maybe it's you're today about a relationship right now. Maybe it's between you and your spouse or your children or your parents or family member or friend, and that relationship is just not right, and you know that it's keeping you up at night and you can't sleep, and those things are really bothering you. Jesus says, cast that upon me, and I promise I'll give you rest. I'll take your burden. I'll give you rest. Maybe you're here today and it's some kind of sin issue in your life and you've been struggling with this issue and it's sin and it tempts you and you give into it constantly. You can't overcome it. Jesus says, cast that heavy load upon me. And he says, I promise to give you rest. Or maybe you're here tonight and you just say, man, I'm just so thankful to the cross that we sang those songs and they were so meaningful to me. I'm just so thankful to the cross to think that Jesus stayed up on that cross and that love ran red. The blood flowed and Jesus stayed there for you and I because he loves us so much. And you're just overwhelmed by his love and say, I'm just here to say thank you to Jesus that you love me so much you died for my sins. I'm just here to say thank you to Jesus. What we want to do, we want to give you an opportunity right now to just thank Jesus. We want to give you an opportunity to just give these things to him and give him praise tonight. When you arrive tonight, you receive the red piece of paper. If you please take that out. If you don't have one, there's some back there in the basket, or there's some up here. You can get them after I pray. You're more than welcome to get them here because we want to give you an opportunity to just give it to Jesus and nail it to the cross right now. See, we want to give you the opportunity right now. What I want you to do is take this piece of paper and whatever is burdening you tonight, whatever stress you may have, whatever keeps you up at night, whatever's on your mind right now, whatever it may be, whether it's health issue, whether it's relationships, whether it's sin, I want you to write it down in that piece of paper. Anything that is bothering you tonight, maybe it's a family member that don't know Christ. Fill it up. If you need two or three, we have plenty of sheets of paper. Whatever it may be, I want to give you an opportunity to give it to Jesus tonight because that's why he came. He came to die for our cross. He came to rescue us from this present evil age. And part of him going to the cross is that we cast all of our burdens upon him from this present evil age that we have. And Jesus promised to give us rest. Maybe it's you're here tonight and you say, man, I just want to shout out praise to Jesus. I just want to give him praise for he deserves our praise and our worship. Write that down. Thank you for my salvation. I just want to praise. I just want to worship you tonight. Write that down. All of us have something we can write in this sheet of paper. We can nail it to the cross. That's what this is all about. That we come and we just give it to Jesus. We write it down. And right now we just give it to him. This is a time we want to worship him. Just our hearts and minds filled with worship, where we give him our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and everything that is going on in our lives right now, that we fill this cross up with these red sheets to worship him and to remember him, that he died for all those things we're struggling with. He died for all those sins. He died for those things that are bringing burdens and heavy loads in our life. Jesus gave his life for those things. We also want to give you an opportunity to remember Jesus through communion, that you might come up here tonight and you and your family come and take it here, and you go back to your seats and take it. And remember that this cracker or wafer represents Jesus gave his body for you. You might remember the juice represents that Jesus shed his blood upon the cross for you so you and I might have forgiveness of sins. And remember Jesus tonight. And if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, we invite you to partake of communion. We invite everyone to come to the cross and nail to these sheets of paper and give it to Jesus. This is a night that we just want to give you time of this busy day that you can spend a few minutes with Jesus. This is not a time where we're going to come and socialize. It's not about socializing when you come up and go to the cross. This is a time where I really want you to just spend with Jesus, quietly before him, remembering him, what he did for us upon the cross, and giving those things in our life that's such big burdens, having communion and remembering him. This is a time where families that have young children, maybe a time that you explained to them what we're doing today and what that cross represents and what Jesus did for us. It's a time where we just spend with Jesus and we worship him and we remember him, what he so graciously did for us on the cross. It was love for you and I that kept them on that cross. Let's pray. Lord, we come and we praise you. We praise you, Lord, because of your love. We praise you because, Lord, you demonstrated that wonderful, amazing love on the cross for us. You came, Lord, to rescue us from our sins and rescue us from this present evil age. You knew what we needed before we were ever created. And Lord, if all of us examine our life, Lord, there is no hope in this world without you. There's no future without you, Jesus. The only thing that gives us a hope in a future is you, and to know you and understand you. And so, Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that you'd work in our hearts and minds, Lord, and you'd, whatever is on burdening us and those heavy loads, that you would pry them from our hearts and minds and let us write them on those sheets of paper and let us give those to you tonight. And Lord, when we nail that to the cross, remember the nails that you felt that day when they put them in you, when you stayed up on the cross. But Lord, as we nail up on that cross, that we'd leave those burdens, we'd leave those heavy loads there, Lord, and we come and we say, now I'm free. I'm free now to worship you. I'm free and you promise to give me rest. Doesn't mean you will take them away, but it means that you will give me the peace which transcends all understanding. That Lord, through this time that you're giving me, give me rest and I can focus on you. Lord, we pray for us, Lord, as we take communion today, that remember what you did for us, that you gave your body, all your ministry, all your teaching, all the things that you did, all the healings that you did. That's what it represents. And Lord, as we take the cup, we remember Jesus, the new covenant, where you came and shed your blood so we might have forgiveness of sins, Lord. And we have that new day because of Jesus. New day, a new creation because of Jesus. That all of our sins are washed away, Lord. And you promised to help us and guide us, Lord. And everything has changed. And no longer should anything be the same because of you. You've changed everything. Lord, you've come and you've given us a hope and a future all because of that cross. That cross made the difference in everything. Everything. So Lord, we come to worship you. We come to remember you and that great outpouring of love that you've shown us at the cross. May, Lord, this next few minutes of our hearts and our minds be a great outpouring of appreciation and thankfulness and love to you. May we worship you, be united together to worship our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came and gave his life for us, so we might have life, came to give us forgiveness of sins, came to give us eternal life, and it all comes through God's amazing grace through Jesus. Lord, we praise you, we worship you, we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen.